So my first guest on the show tonight is one of Ireland's leading music photographers. She's captured images of international acts including Beyoncé, Metallica, Jay-Z, Green Day, Muse and Madonna, as well as some of the best Irish musicians and bands, including Le Galaxy, All Twins and Lisa Hannigan. She's the official photographer for Electric Picnic and has also just been signed by the BBC as the official photographer for Glastonbury. Ahead of a new exhibition showcasing a decade of her work, she joins us in the studio now. Welcome to Near FM, Ruth Mechba.
Thank you so much for having me. Delighted to be here.
So, I mean, that's an incredibly impressive portfolio there. How do you become a rock and roll photographer? I'm sure there's a lot of people who want to know the answer to that question.
I don't think there's an easy way. There's no like just shortcut to doing it. It's a lot of getting out there and photographing every local band in your area 7 nights a week or whenever possible. And that's it. And it really is, as my dad used to tell me, and I'd be like, no, it is all about kind of who you know. So it's networking. Like, and I don't mean that in a really kind of slimy way or anything. It's just about making friends and building relationships and getting, you know, building trusting relationships with bands and managers and promoters and just making yourself known while also building up your own skill set. So constantly learning, trying to know your equipment inside and out, and just being a really good photographer while having a load of mates who are musicians.
And so where did you start out? So your dad, I think, was in the camera business, though not a photographer. Did you train or where did you begin?
Yeah, that's right. Dad used to sell camera equipment. So there was always cameras knocking around our house and I would always be fidgeting with them. And then I did train. I actually did a 4-year degree course of an honours degree in photography. But that's not essential to anyone that actually wants to be a photographer. To be honest, if anything, I think it set me back a bit because it really knocked my confidence. It was much more of a kind of a fine art photography course by the end of it. So when I was coming through it, I really wanted to be a music photographer. That's all I've ever wanted to be. It's, you know, it was my dream. But there isn't a music photography course per se in Ireland. It's not as if you can go and just train to be this. So I did the degree. But anyone that's listening to this that is actually interested in becoming a photographer, you really just have to find your own way of doing it. And it depends on what kind of learning suits you. If you are academically minded, then by all means, do an honor degree in it and, you know, and prosper that way. But if, like me, you're more of a fail, learn better kind of person, then go out into the real world and just start shooting anyone and everyone that will let you. And then you just learn by your mistakes and grow that way. And yeah.
And music photography, in a way, I mean, it's quite a particular genre of photography, capturing that moment. You know, what to you makes a good music photograph?
You know, a lot of what I do these days is capturing the event as a whole, as opposed to like one moment. So, you know, if you're looking for that really epic shot that I'll feature the crowd, and the crowd are what gives back to that photograph. So if there's an interaction between the band on stage and the crowd, if they jump in, if we can see them from wherever, you know, if I'm shooting in behind the drum riser and I can see all of the crowd and you see the look on their faces and they're really into it. And to me, that's quite, you know, that's quite emotive for your viewer to be looking at going, God, yeah, that just seems like such a great gig, because they're reading the expressions on the crowd's face. And then if it's more of a, like an intimate small show, say if it's something with only like 30 or 40 people there or whatever, you're trying to get that real intimacy across, and that could just be something as subtle as the look in the guitarist's eyes as he's really crouched over and playing something really smooth and really, really gentle. And there's no kind of guidelines to what this is, what makes a great music photograph. There's loads of things, because it's just, music is so varied and depends on the genre, depends on the venue, depends on the band, but there's loads of things that you can do to make a really powerful photograph. And I think that was the hardest thing about pulling all the images together for the Ruthless show, was that I wanted to have such variety on the walls that no matter what kind of music you're into, from what era, what genre, that you would find something on the wall that spoke to you. So trying to pull all of those pictures from my archive that's made up literally of millions of photographs has been the biggest challenge.
And so let's talk about that. So it's a decade worth of work. It starts on the 23rd of November. Tell us where the exhibition's going to be and what people can expect.
Yeah, it's on in just off Dame Street on Dame Lane, in a place called the Fumbly Exchange. You know, it's a gallery space but it's like a little bit of a rough and ready gallery space, kind of like most of the venues that you'd ever be in or I'd ever be in. And it is, it's a decade of live music photography. So from 2008, I'm trying to pick all my best shots. And there, it's getting close to about 60 bands represented on the walls, which is ridiculous by any standard. Most photographers or artists or illustrators or anything, when they have an exhibition, they're you know, they're like, 12 is a big show. I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing 60. But it was the only way to do it, really. And there's going to be international bands. All the headliners, obviously, are represented. So, you know, all the big acts like St. Vincent and Garbage and Dua Lipa and Leonard Cohen and Grace Jones and all those acts that we all love, the iconic, massive acts. But then there's also a good chunk of this show dedicated to Irish bands, because I should be supporting them, because they've supported me through years of my career. And so many times have I got guest lists to come and shoot their show, or, you know, I've worked with these bands and they've become my friends. And this is my opportunity to somehow thank them and give back to them and go, yeah, you guys are deserving of being on that wall as well as all the international acts. And we really should be championing Irish music, because I don't think it gets done enough. So yeah, there will be like Jape and, you know, Le Galaxy and all these bands that I have adored and kind of stalked throughout the last 10 years. Yeah, so it'll be a big show.
And I know you yourself, as well as promoting Irish bands in this show, you yourself are often a walking billboard for bands, yeah, going around with a lot of girl bands blazoned across your chest.
I love my t-shirts. I love my band t-shirts, because, I mean, why wouldn't I? It's super important to be telling people the music that you love, and it sparks conversations. So yeah, I have Wyvern Lingo t-shirts, Soak t-shirts, like Rossangana Family, Girl Band. I just have so many band t-shirts, because like I said, like, the bands are sound enough to give me a press pass to come and photograph their show. The least I can do is spend 20 quid on a t-shirt while I'm there, and that money will often go directly back into the band's kitty to get them to the next gig. So yeah, and it is a great conversation starter, you know, when you're standing in a bar, or I might be doing something like this, an interview, and people will be like, what does your t-shirt say? I'm like, Wyvern Lingo, they're a band, here's the link, go listen, you'll thank me for it later, like.
And of course, all bands have to start out somewhere. You know, when you see those old posters and the Beatles are down in like tiny writing at the bottom, because they were the support act. And then, you know, they went on to be, you know, one of the biggest bands of the 60s. It's quite exciting as well to have those images that capture bands at the beginnings and at the more early stages, where it might be just a handful of barflies and the music's in the corner, as well as when they become more successful.
Yeah, I have, I mean, in the show there'll be some Hozier from, God, years and years ago, and some Villagers from when he played, when they played Hard Working Class Heroes. So they were very small venues. I think the Hozier shot I have is he was playing, I think it might have even been in Dundalk or something, to about 40 people. And then Villagers, Hard Working Class Heroes. So a lot of the bands will be small little stages, all the Irish bands anyway. I mean, they're kind of like baby pictures at this stage, but I've grown with them. So it's kind of nice now when I go and see, you know, when you see Villagers on a massive stage, and you're like, wow, oh my God, he's grown huge, yeah, on an international stage as well, and people love these acts, and it's so rewarding to see that. Not that I've had anything to do with it, but it's still really nice for Ireland to be like, oh yeah, look at our musicians, like, they do so well.
Well, actually, I think, you know, I mean, you say you don't help, but it's like at the beginning of an artist's career, sometimes good photography, you know, those are the things that artists can't always afford, like images or websites or merchandising. And actually, sometimes those things can be, if someone sees a really good image, a booker, when it comes in an email, that band might just stand out a little bit more. So I think, yeah, certainly at the early stages, it can be really important.
I guess, you know what, I never really thought of that, to be honest, but I do have musician rates. Like, I do have, so when people ask me, it's like, oh, how much do you charge for a photo shoot? It's like, well, it really depends who's asking, because if you're an unsigned musician, I have a rate for you guys, you know, or if it was like a corporate client, I have a rate for them, and the corporate client rate is going to be far higher. And what I do, you know, I'm a freelance self-employed photographer. I just work by myself for myself every single day, and I take take my bookings, and I say yes to some and no to others. But if a corporate client comes to me, I give them the corporate rate by all means. And then what I'll do is I'll tend to live off that for the rest of the month if I do one or two days for them, which means then when a musician comes to me and they, you know, with empty pockets and they're like, we can't really afford this photography, but I love the music and it's something that I'm really passionate about and they're really nice people, then I'll do the shoot for free. And, you know, to me, that's fine. Like, to me, that's just my little way of giving back as well, because they're artists at the end of the day. I'm an artist. We should be all supporting each other in what we do. And I know, you know, photographers, not every photographer can afford to do that. So I'm very lucky that I'm at the stage that I have got corporate clients and I can do that. But yeah, if I can get away with charging musicians next to nothing, then I totally will.
Well, it's great, I think, for anyone in the creative industries if they can find a way to do that. I think there was, I can't remember if it was Bill Murray or it was one of the big Hollywood actors said the way he does films is one for them, meaning like the studios, and one for me. Because, you know, he has to do the big ticket one to pay the bills, and then he'll do one that, you know, doesn't get paid or gets paid like union rates or whatever it is.
That's cool. So I'm effectively Bill Murray.
And he's a pretty cool person to be.
Yeah.
He's one of my favourites. You know, when we kind of think of rock and roll, sometimes it is, you know, the hairy guys or whatever else. But, you know, you're quite a little petite, beautiful, glamorous woman. And you've also set up something called the Women's Camera Club.
Mm.
Is it a male-dominated profession? And tell us a bit about what you're doing to help women get into the business.
It definitely was a male-dominated profession, especially when I started out. And I started out when I was like 16. I was in the Olympia, and my first ever press pass, I got into the pit and I looked around and there was, I'd say there's about six or seven middle-aged blokes all in like leather jackets. And to me, that was terrifying. And they all had really massive cameras. And I was just so afraid. and I started going to camera clubs. This was before I could go to college. So I really had no access to photography training or photography, even conversations. So I started going to camera clubs. And that didn't last either, because the camera clubs were all just men who I had nothing really in common with except photography, but they'd all see me as a child and just, you know, would all kind of patronize you and stuff. So I kind of fell out of the camera club buzz. And then up until recently, you know, I started getting to know other women in the profession. So a really cool press photographer who, again, kind of said the same thing about her industry, that, you know, the press photography, there is a lot of men doing it, and why isn't there more women? And that's kind of what I was asking as well. It's like, a great portion of the graduates that come out of photography degrees are female. However, they don't tend to carry it on into careers such as press, sports, music, even fashion. There's so many male fashion photographers. So it's not as if women don't have an interest in these things. And it's definitely not that they don't have the capabilities to do it, because believe me, it's not that hard what we do. Yeah, it's grueling, but there's other jobs out there that are just as grueling, like being a nurse or working in the fire brigade or anything like that. There is grueling, and women do those professions. So why aren't women choosing photography? So I was like, well, maybe they just don't have encouragement, support, or the knowledge about it. So why don't I set up a group where I just get together and kind of just like nerd out a bit and talk about cameras, which is what I want to do. And I don't really want to be patronized by a group of lads while I do it. It's a nice, just friendly, safe space for us to just talk about cameras and photography, and that's it, share knowledge.
Amazing. And Ruthless, for anyone who doesn't know, that's the name that you kind of trade under as a,
yeah, well, the Ruthless A Decade of Live is the exhibition. So it's so hard, you know, my surname is so weird. Like Medjbear is a weird one to
so
spell,
because you're half Irish and half Algerian.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, when you're telling people, what's your name, it's like Ruth Medjbear. Huh, what, how do I, what's that now, do I spell that? I'm like, okay, so Ruthless is just, it's just an easy way for people to find me on the internet.
Yeah, and you can have like a little kind of gif of you like going whoosh, whoosh, with a sword. It sounds kind of, you
like
know,
Zorro.
Sounds, yeah, it's kind of got a Zorro element to it.
I'm fine with that. I dress in black anyway. It's totally cool.
The warrior photographer. And that's also, and Ruthless Imagery is also your kind of handle on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, where you do a lot, you post a lot, and you're also very generous with little tutorials and giving people insight into what you do as well. one of the things which is in part also the post-production side of photography. Yeah. So I saw a really cool little video you did that showed how you touched up a really fantastic photograph at Electric Picnic. Mm. Tell us a little bit about that side of the photography.
Yeah, I mean, I'll always share. People kind of, other photographers gave out to me for doing that because they're like, oh, you're sharing industry secrets. I'm like, Photoshop is not a secret, lads. We're okay, you know, we're fine. So I do, whenever I have time, I do Instagram tutorials on Instagram TV, which they can just find on my Ruthless Imagery page. I'll just talk to people and show them how I got one image to look like another and how I get a kind of print ready. So a lot of my, that particular Electric Picnic photograph was going on the cover of the Irish Times Ticket magazine. And of course, I'm not just going to put that out looking like it is. It needs, everything needs a little bit of a wand. So I'll pop that over and just show people how I did it. And then I did another one recently where I retouched my own face because I wanted to do portrait retouching to show people how to do it. But of course, I wasn't going to scrutinize someone else's blackheads. I did my own. So I told people how to do this and do that. And it is just a bit of fun. But yeah, retouching's a massive part of this job. Not so much for live music photography, because that's kind of like documentary work. There's a lot going on that stage anyway that you wouldn't really take bits and pieces out of, unless there's like a cameraman in the way of something, which there was on one of my Stone Roses. I did Stone Roses played Marley Park there a couple of years ago, and I got a AAA pass so I could wander around the stage with the whole band and just stay there for the full set. But there was also a cameraman on stage, so I had to Photoshop him out of nearly all of my shots. Bless him.
And what's that like? Because you've just been on tour with Arcade Fire as well. What's it like going on tour with a band?
That was an unreal experience, and it was absolutely amazing. I loved it, and I think I was so lucky because Arcade Fire are so nice. I mean, Canadian rock stars, they're lovely, and they were so welcoming and so friendly. But it was tough as well. People think, oh god, you're on, you just get to go take pictures every night. It's like, yeah, I do technically, but you do have to bring your A game. And for me, I really had to level up my skills. So I was shooting the set each night, and then I had to deliver about 10 photographs immediately after the set so that they could be distributed to local press. So you're working on that instantly while everyone is off as having showers, having a couple of beers, and I'm at my little makeshift desk backstage trying to do these pictures. And then I'd go and hop on the bus, and again, everyone else is having drinks on the bus and we're driving to the next city, and I'm in my bunk doing the photographs because they needed the full set of photographs delivered before the next morning to the social media people, and so they could all be delivered out. So you're kind of working a night shift, you know, and then the next day when you arrive at the venue, which is really cool because I mean, you don't have to drive. You've got a bus driver. You don't have to cook. There's someone cooking your food for you. You don't really have to do anything except do your job, which I really, really appreciated. But I get there the next day, and then the band would be sound checking, and I would make a conscious effort to watch the sound check and take some notes because there'd be some songs in there that I didn't know. Arcade Fire are, they're not like a pop band that goes on and does the same set every single night. They change it up for depending on their mood, depending on what city they're in, which is really refreshing. So you don't really know, if you were a fan and you bought a ticket to say two nights in a row, you're going to see a different set. From a photographer's point of view, it's kind of a nightmare because I'm like, oh no, the great thing that they did last night that I nearly got a shot of, I don't know if they're going to do it again tonight, so I don't know if I'm going to get that. So I'd watch the sound check, and then I'd go over the set list, and I'd be like, okay, what could this possibly mean? And I'd talk to the video guys and the lighting guys, and I'd talk to their creative director and see if I can formulate a plan. And then before I know it, it's 9 o'clock and we're all marching out on stage again. So it's nonstop, but in a really exciting way.
And we should say as well, photography has really, in the, you know, the decade that we're talking about as well, photography has grown and grown in terms of fine art and people wanting to put photography on their walls. And these things are all for sale too.
They're all for sale at really reasonable prices.
So you can be really cool by having a Ruthless print above your sofa.
Yeah, I think for me, my goal with this is that someone walking in off the street who is a music fan would be able to recognize the gigs, and there should be something on the wall that they've been to, whether it was, you know, the LCD sound system's supposed last ever gig at Electric Picnic. So that's, you know, something that would be like really emotional for someone to look at and go, oh, I remember that gig. I remember who I was standing with. It was such a good weekend. And, you know, I'd love for that to happen. Or, you know, people who have sentimental attachments to bands. So Fight Like Apes' last ever show is represented because that's a seminal moment in Irish music. So I want people to have that kind of little bit of nostalgia going through and be able to pick something that they love and then hopefully take it away with them.
Wow, sounds amazing. I can't wait to see it. It sounds like it's going to be like a slice of Irish music history.
Well, I hope so, if I pull it off. But yes, it will be great.
Ruthless, a decade of live music photography. It's on at the Fumbly Exchange, Dame Lane, from Friday the 23rd of November. And meanwhile, do follow Ruth. She's at Ruthless Imagery on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I had a lovely time. That was great.